Chris. Call to order. Pursuant to Section 5 of the... Ladies and gentlemen, pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with the law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in the borough hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Aaron, may I have a roll call, please?
Dr. Cody? Mr. Flager?
Here.
Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Cacmo?
Here.
Dr. Cetron?
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Pepe? Mrs. Murray?
Here.
Mr. Colangelo?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty? Ms. Drew? Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Mr. Eliano?
Here.
Please rise for a silent prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First item on the agenda is PB18-06. Excuse me? Mics are on. First item on the agenda is PB18-06, Block 142, Lot 5, 17 Avenue D. Denholtz Custom Homes, application for preliminary and final subdivision with variances as may be required. Mr. Junko, if you wouldn't mind for one moment, please, I'd like to address something in the statement. When this application started many months ago, it became obvious that we had to have special meetings to accommodate the public interest in the application. As the board has learned throughout the process, in addition to procuring the venue, it was and is also required to coordinate additional recording devices, a police presence due to crowd size, a sound system so the public can hear the entire proceeding, and to be sure that a member of the AHES school staff is here due to the black card requirement through the boiler when anyone is in the building. Unfortunately, last week was spring break for the school system in Monmouth County, meaning this school was unavailable, and the availability of those involved with this application with children in these school systems was far less than it is today. You will notice that there are board members who have put in 25 hours of listening to testimony and countless hours of review time of plans and studies. They are not here tonight because of work obligations. In addition to an attorney for an objector and other residents who might also want to attend this evening who cannot be present. Obviously, this is unfortunate. The board has had several hearings on this application and has gone out of its way to accommodate all interested parties. With great effort and assistance from the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School and its staff, the police department, the town employees who coordinate the setup you've seen at the school, and the planning board secretary, Ms. Uriarte. We thank those people for their efforts. At the conclusion of the last meeting, the applicant's case had been presented. The public question and comment section had been completed with full opportunity for the public and any of their experts to cross-examine the applicant and his witnesses. At this point, tonight, the applicant may respond to the testimony of the objectors, witnesses, and the public if they choose to. The board has not received any changes to review prior to this meeting, so we do not know if there will be any changes. Originally, there was an additional meeting scheduled for March 26th, but the applicant's representation and the attorney for an objector, Mr. Asadi, both agreed it would be prudent to cancel that scheduled meeting. The applicant has given this board an extension through the end of May to render its decision. That extension was given by the applicant to the board, not from the board to the applicant. Considering the history of this application, it was imperative that the board prepare itself in case tonight does not result in a conclusion, but rather might need an additional meeting in May. The board received correspondence from an objector's attorney, Mr. Asadi, that he would be unavailable due to a family vacation to attend this evening. Mr. Asadi communicated that there was no other attorney within his firm that was a land use attorney. Although this board cannot verify the availability of Mr. Asadi's law partner, Mr. Albert Zager of Zager Fuchs, Mr. Asadi's firm. Mr. Zager does advertise on the firm's webpage that he is a land use attorney. Considering all of the factors outlined, it was decided that this date would remain on the calendar and the board would continue to hear this application, whether it comes to a conclusion this evening or must have an additional meeting scheduled in May. Ultimately, that responsibility for that decision falls on my shoulders, with heavy consideration given to all factors, including the fact that board members who have given their time and effort into this application are unable to attend this evening. It is unfortunate, but impossible to coordinate an effort like this and have the 36 people involved in this application available on the same date. With that being said, we are at the point where the applicant may either address the testimony given by residents and their experts, or conclude and send this application to the board for discussion. If the applicant chooses to respond with a rebuttal or make the minimus changes to the application, the board and its experts will have the opportunity to ask questions of the applicant or its experts, and then the public will have the opportunity to first ask questions about those changes and then make comments about those changes. Because of the procedural point we are on the application, questions from the board and questions and comments from the public will be limited to those changes, if any. If we get beyond that point this evening, the application will then go to the board members for discussion. That discussion is between board members and their professionals only. Mr. Junko.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I do wish to present rebuttal to three points that were made. We're also proposing a minor change to the plans to increase the area of open space. And with your permission, I would like to recall James Kennedy, our civil engineer, who is sworn and presented as an expert in the field of civil engineering.
Mr. Kennedy, you were previously sworn. You understand you're still under oath.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Mr. Kennedy, after reviewing the testimony presented by our adversaries and reviewing the project, did you consider making any modifications to the area of open space being proposed for this project?
Yes, I did. As this board knows, I testified that the pump station, in my opinion, didn't fit the definition of a structure. But after considering the testimony, considering the questions of the public, the pump station area of not only the square around the pump station, but the driveway access to it was calculated to be 1,088 square feet. That 1,088 square feet is going to be offset now, and we're going to increase the open space by that same amount. So I have an exhibit, probably better than words, but basically the area of open space utilized by the pump station and its access roadway is now taken out of the area of open space and added in. So we're offsetting that area. So one of the lots is getting slightly smaller, and the open space is getting slightly larger by 1,088 square feet. I have a large board it's going to be hard to even show this lot line change because of the scale, but I do have 11 by 17s that I can pass out to the board members.
Mr. Kennedy, what you're about to pass out to the board is an accurate and true drawing of the modification to the plan to increase the open space lot by 1,088 square feet.
That's correct. It's called Open Space Adjustment Exhibit. It was drawn under my direction and control, and I'll just briefly discuss it.
Yes, that would be our next exhibit. Number?
833.
Mr. Chairman, do you want to mark one of the small ones for the record, or do you want to go ahead and see the board?
Let's keep the small one.
Okay, so 833 removes calculated the area over the open space that the pump station and its access driveway encumber, and we simply added that 1,088 square feet additional to the open space lot. So you'll see that lot 5.09 became slightly smaller, and lot 5.17, which is the open space lot, became slightly larger. And again, that increase in area is simply to offset the area of open space that was dedicated to the access driveway and pump station.
So Mr. Kennedy, lot 5.09, the grantor of the 1,088 square feet, does that remain a fully conforming lot in all aspects?
Yes, it does.
And with the addition of 1,088 square feet, does the open space meet the requirements of ordinance, in particular exceeding the 30% required for the site?
It's my opinion that now it exceeds the 30%, but in any case, and even if you take the objector's view, it meets the requirement of the 30% open space.
Mr. Kennedy, did you analyze also section 150-84A3 of the ordinance?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to request that you address the board about the requirements for a waiver. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to request that the board consider that because this issue has been debated before the board, there's a discussion of whether or not the pump station constituted a structure, whether it should or should not be included in the open space. We're now trying to protect that issue on behalf of the application by providing the additional square footage to make sure that it's at 30%. But I'd also like the board to consider a waiver of the condition of the ordinance to confirm that we meet the area of open space. So I was going to ask Mr. Kennedy to present some testimony on that. Could you describe the area?
Well, this is what I just described. The 1,088 square feet open space is meeting the 30%. That's the first waiver that if the board feels that a waiver is necessary, but I believe that we now, by adding back the 1,088 square feet that was previously encumbered by the pump station and access driveway, a waiver in anybody's way would be required. The second issue, which resulted, again, was brought up in testimony on direct, but also by the objectors and the neighbors, has to do with section 150-84A3. And this is the preservation ordinance. Under general site design standards, open space historic structures, and I'll just read it. In subdivision and site design, the following areas shall be preserved as undeveloped open space or, in the case of historic structures, maintained within the development. And then parenthetical 3 states lands in the floodway or identified as V and A zones on the advisory base flood elevation map. I testified a number of months ago that, in my opinion, I didn't think that this ordinance was applicable to what we're doing, because this is not an undeveloped area. This is a commercial marine storage, and as you know, McConnell Fuel operated and operates for many years. And this, the flood zone, the B zone, the A zone, there's nothing to preserve. Those areas aren't developed. So it was my opinion that this ordinance wasn't applicable to the development at hand because the areas are developed. There's nothing we can preserve as undeveloped land because it's developed. So from my perspective, I didn't think that it was applicable. Considering the objector's testimony, if the board finds that I'm wrong, then we respectfully request a waiver. And the justification for the waiver is that, first of all, no structure, the open space, would encumber most of that V zone. Now, a V zone is the velocity wave run-up area, usually prone to the most damage during a flood. It's the waves. The A zone are a static flood elevation. When you develop in either one of those areas, there are certain protections under the building code that must be met for new construction period. You can't build a house in an A or a B zone without taking certain protections. And the protections include elevation, which is what your flood damage prevention ordinance suggests. The building code says structural elements such as the foundation, flood venting. I probably don't need to tell you, you live here. You know what needs to be done in the flood zone. But there's certain protections for any development within the flood zone. So given that these will be new homes, the homes that will be built in A zone would be meeting the current IRC, current flood rules and regulations. So if the board does find that this ordinance is applicable, even though it's my opinion it's not, we would respectfully request a waiver, given the consideration that this is new construction that would meet your flood prevention ordinance as well as the building codes of New Jersey.
Now, Mr. Kennedy, as you prepared the plans and went through our preparation for this presentation, did you determine that there remains unencumbered open space meeting the standard of the ordinance?
Correct, for open space purposes, that the open space is meets the requirements of the ordinance.
Can you please use the microphone?
The open space development of this lot meets the ordinance.
Are you satisfied with the standards that are applicable at your review, that it would be a reasonable determination if the board would determine to grant the waiver requested?
Yes.
So in summary of your testimony, number one, you've added 1,088 square feet to the open space.
That's correct.
Number two, you've taken that from lot 5.09, which remains fully conforming.
That's correct.
With regard to the structure of the pump station and the access drive, you've accounted for that in the open space by adding additional square footage.
That's correct.
And in the alternative, we've asked the board to grant a waiver to permit that structure to remain in the location proposed.
Yes.
Secondly, with regard to the A and B zone, you described the nature of the zone and the proposed development by us in the zone and your reasoning as to why it would not be applicable.
Correct.
And in the alternative, we're requesting the board to grant a waiver that the development, that the use of the A and B zones for the on the two building lots in our project would be reasonable.
That's correct.
No other direct questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Does any board member have any questions for Mr. Kennedy in reference to these changes? Mr. Rohmeyer, I must ask you, in reference to the waiver for the open space and for the development structures in a flood zone, upon your initial review, it did not seem necessary for a waiver, and I would like your opinion again in reference to those two items. I don't want to set the precedence of granting waivers that are unnecessary.
No problem, Mr. Chairman. With regard to 150-84, general site design standards, specifically for preservation of open space, it's my interpretation of that code that the intention is to preserve open space, undisturbed space. I did not identify 150-84 as a an item that the applicant needed relief in my technical review, because it's my opinion it's not applicable. With regards to open space, 30% requirement was calculated and verified to be met as originally proposed prior to tonight's modification. However, with the addition of space to offset the utility component, the pump station and the driveway, that would just further bolster the amount of open space. So again, I don't believe a waiver is required.
And in reference to the third waiver with the structure, your opinion? I'm not sure if that was actually clear, but it appears you asked for three separate waivers, correct?
One, a request to modify the site plan to 1,088 square feet from lot 5.09 to open space.
Okay.
Second, to grant a waiver in the alternative for the pump station location, even though we've added additional open space to compensate for that. And the second waiver was for the development in the A and V zone in accordance with the standards that we've proposed that meet the development ordinance of the municipality.
Obviously, any board member is able to create their own opinion in this matter, but Mr. Rohmeier, you seem to think that those waivers would not be necessary?
That is correct. And for the flood zone discussion, I'd just like to draw a little parallel to like any previously developed site, say a residential property was destroyed during Sandy, that wouldn't be subject to this ordinance to be redeveloped. The developed property to be redeveloped is one thing where preserving open space, I believe, undisturbed open space was the intention of 150-84.
Mr. Rohmeier, you were previously sworn in connection with this application, were you not?
Correct.
You understand that you're still under oath, and what you've just said was under oath?
Yes.
Does any board member have any questions for either the witness or Mr. Rohmeier, for that matter? Does any member of the public have a question for Mr. Rohmeier? I'm sorry, for Mr. Kennedy. I apologize.
Hi, Liz Pomeroy, 20 Brotherton Avenue.
Sorry, your name, please.
Liz Pomeroy. Since you're reconfiguring the open space to accommodate the pump station, is the reason that you chose this reconfiguration because the access easement granted by the township is not able to be moved? And did you speak to the person responsible for granting the access easement to the pump station? Who is that?
No, this reconfiguration has nothing to do with the access easement. It's really just merely an offsetting of 1,500 square feet that was encumbered by the pump station and access road. We increased the open space lot to offset that encumbrance. When I say encumbrance, it's not really a legal encumbrance. It's an occupation, I guess. So to be perfectly clear, the objectors brought up the fact that part of our open space was occupied by the pump station, and we were just offsetting the area of that part of the open space lot that was occupied. That's all we did.
By enlarging in another section?
The open space, the contiguous open space lot, got a little bit larger.
So my question is, because the pump station is like in the middle of the open space area, and it's just, you know, drawn there, it could have been moved, but I thought maybe you didn't move the pump station because of the access easement that was granted by the township. So I just wondered if you spoke to the people and who was the person who granted you that easement to
access. There is no easement granted. The easement is proposed on our plan. If it's approved, we would then ask governing body to grant the access easement.
So if you didn't get that easement, then this open space configuration would go differently?
No. Well, Mr. Kennedy, is there another access to the pump station?
Yes.
But we don't know what we don't have an alternative now. I mean,
this was already part of the testimony that was previously presented. I'll just summarize that there is an easement that goes from the proposed street along the lot line of 516, I believe it is, to access the sewer pump station.
Through the park by the soccer field?
No, well, that's an alternative. There's two. This one goes from, I'd rather do it this way. Mr. Kennedy, can you just describe the exact easement from our proposed road to the pump station?
Well, there's an alternative between lots 5.11 and 5.12, which is this area here. There's an alternative access point from the cul-de-sac at that point, but being that there's an existing driveway access where we show the access, we figured that made more practical sense to utilize the dirt driveway that's currently in existence. If the borough council chose not to provide an access easement to the applicant for that configuration, we have other alternatives available, including the easement between two homes. This is not something that is well traveled. It's only for the maintenance of the pump station.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. So the pump station on this shows that it's less than 10 feet from the property line. Is that always the case, the actual pump station?
From the residential, from the proposed residential lot line, correct.
Right.
When we first configured the location, we wanted it to be 50 feet from any perimeter property line. And that set the configuration and placement of the pump station. The thought was not to impose the pump station on our neighbors, but for the future homeowners, they'll know that the pump station's there when they build it and when they move in. It's not something that's being imposed on them.
So lot 512, that's the pump station's gonna be behind that house.
That's correct.
Okay, and you show on what you just handed us is that it looks like the pump station is going to be less than 10 feet away from the property line.
That's correct. From the rear property line.
That's, you don't need any variance or anything for that?
No, because there is no structure. Everything is below grade. There's no building. There's no setback requirement. We were focused on the existing residential homes and moving it as far away from the existing residential homes as possible. There is flexibility. If the board wants us to move it and center it in the lot, to move it to the side, we can certainly do that. There's really no, it was self-imposed, but I wanted a 50-foot buffer, frankly, to the existing homes along the perimeter. But that was self-imposed. I just thought it made sense.
Other questions from the public? Sir, you had your hand up first.
Hi, Tony Hannon, H-A-N-A-M, 1 Fort Myer. I'm sorry, 1 Brantway, New Jersey. Has Denholtz considered donating the open space to the town under the current plan?
Mr. Hannon, it's actually the question periods at this point are solely based on the changes made. That's the point we are in these proceedings.
Right, they made a little change to the open space.
And that is not part of the changes they made as far as whether they've considered donating or not. You may ask questions in reference to the changes made, please.
That's my question. No.
And then they don't have to answer it.
Mike Sherpin, 55 Avenue D, Atlanta Towns. The access, the dirt access road, who is that owned by?
It comes across the borough property.
It's borough property. Is a borough going to maintain that road?
That would have to be part of the easement discussion with the borough council after any action by this board.
Okay, if the council grants you permission to use that dirt road, who ultimately will maintain it and for how long?
That would be subject to the easement agreement. I've seen easement agreements where the grantor of the easement in perpetuity maintain it, or the grantee maintains it in perpetuity. That is something I can't answer because it's really a choice for the applicant and the borough council to work out.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Other questions from the public? Yes, sir. Yes, please, and your address.
Brent Sonnek, 51 Ocean Boulevard. SONNEK-SCHMELZ. Concerning the comments I just heard, a few questions. Given that the way I understood it, that the borough engineer said the waivers are not required. Is that what it was? You were not talking to a microphone, so it's hard to hear.
Relief is not required for 150-84 or 150-87, in my opinion.
And 150-84 is the flood zone design waiver?
150-84 is entitled General Site Design Standards. Reference to the floodway.
Okay, and what was the other one that no relief was required? The 87?
Open space, 30%.
The 30%. Okay, so from my understanding, the reasoning that there is no waiver required is that you're determining that this is not currently undeveloped for the For the flood zone variance? For the flood zone waiver? The reasoning behind why it is not required? Why it is not required?
5084, in my opinion, applies to undeveloped, undisturbed areas where this site is a previously disturbed site.
So are you differentiating between undeveloped and undisturbed? Or, and at what point does land that was previously developed revert back to undeveloped?
That's my interpretation.
I am asking for clarification on the interpretation. As far as reason, looking at it, you see that the bulkhead there has been subsequently abandoned.
Abandoned is, if you're saying it's abandoned, it was used at one point, it was cleared, it was graded, it was utilized as a marina.
That's why I'm asking about it. At what point in time does land that has been abandoned revert back to being undeveloped?
That's a good question.
So do you not have an answer to that question?
I don't believe it. It's an active site, correct?
Can I answer a question that was addressed to me?
You may.
Okay. I look at that site, and is there boat storage on the site? Yes. Is the entire land utilized? No. If you look at that bulkhead that runs along the water, the area behind that has absolutely been abandoned to a space of about 50, 75 feet, which is not in any use whatsoever and has been overgrown with weeds, shrubs, and trees. To me, that sounds like undeveloped space.
Mr. Rohmeier, is there anything within our ordinances in this municipality that addresses Mr. Sonnenschmell's question in reference to time of abandonment?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
Okay, can I say something? I don't think the property's been abandoned. We're talking about a subdivision here. The subdivision is to take that whole piece of property that's utilized as one and break that down into 16 homes. So we're taking one piece of property, whether there's one boat on there or 300. What's the difference?
The difference is...
Now I'm asking you a question.
I understand that. That's a good answer. If you look at that property, and the ordinance does not specify whether a portion of land can be considered undeveloped or not, whether or not it's one contiguous...
Well, does it say that they have to have a boat on each piece of that property?
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we are this is at a point for board discussion. Questions, please direct towards the applicant in reference to the change. And I'm taking control. I understand. I don't want it to get down that road. Please direct it towards the applicant.
All right. As far as the pump station, am I incorrect in reading that you do not believe that there is any structure or building and that a conditional use variance is not required?
Correct. In reading, as you know, we've gone through that ordinance word by word with regard to utilities, and there's no building proposed as part of the pump station.
Did prior testimony from one of the other representatives of the developer claim that there was a roof on the site?
I'm sorry, sir. That's prior testimony. It's just from a procedural standpoint. We must direct the question strictly on the change. I'm sorry, but that's where...
Chairman, I understand that. What I'm doing is trying to address the comment he made tonight, which is different than the comment that was made in their testimony prior.
Actually, with the review of that, it was reviewed by the board engineer that according to the ordinances, in his opinion, that is not considered a structure based on our ordinances.
Okay, I don't remember seeing that testimony in the last meeting. I just didn't know it was something that had been brought up.
I must ask from a procedural standpoint.
I understand.
I understand.
And one thing you said, it would be reasonable to grant the waiver on the design standards if it was deemed applicable. Would it also be reasonable for them not to grant the waiver?
I don't think it would be reasonable.
Why not?
Well, because the negative would be if we have codes and requirements for building that permit the construction of homes within A zones and B zones as well, and to impose a municipal standard that preempts a state building code on a developed site just seems to be, in my opinion, unreasonable.
But it's not the prerogative of the municipality to to address waivers and ordinances that affect its particular situation that may be different than other places in the state?
Yes, there's a balance that this board has to come to, and this is a balance that it's your job to balance when you either figure out whether a waiver is required or not, and whether the grant of the waiver is reasonable or not. That's the balance that this board is up against. In my professional opinion, when I balance it, it's unreasonable to impose, to not grant a waiver where the land is otherwise buildable.
And has that changed since Sandy and communities such as Atlantic Highlands, which is what the reason that waiver was even passed?
So,
given the whereases.
Well, I assume that's your testimony, your understanding, and I do know that this was passed in 2013 after Sandy. I don't know why it was codified the way it was, if the intent was to not rebuild on properties that were damaged by Sandy. Because that's not how the ordinance can be reasonably interpreted, that any home that was damaged could not be built again if it was in an A or B zone. That would be unreasonably restrictive, in my opinion. If you owned a house that was damaged, you couldn't rebuild it.
Are we dealing with a situation here where we're rebuilding houses?
We are redeveloping a developed site.
That wasn't my question.
However, I believe that was his answer.
Okay, I'll ask it again. Are we rebuilding houses here? Was this the location that was a residential?
I'm going to object to the question. It's out of scope for what we did. We talked about the waivers from the issues that were presented by objectors. We're rebutting that testimony. The value or the substance of a waiver and the ordinance development in this municipality is outside the scope of this question.
Mr. Sonnenfeld, I'd ask that you save that point for your comments in the comment section, possibly.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yes. Now I'm pointing right at you.
Janice Edwardson, 72 Burlington Avenue, Leonardo. I'm not sure this is in the scope, so stop me if it's not. Recently, there was sewer pipe breakage on Bay Avenue, where neighbors that I know had to leave their home for 3 or 4 days, live in a motel. Would the scope of this development affect the capacity?
I'm sorry, Ms. Evans, that is above and beyond the changes that they made and presented. So that would have had to been asked at the previous hearings during the comment and question section for the board.
Thank you. I'm Kate Wigginton, 62 Avenue D, Atlantic Islands. Mr. Kennedy, do you have any reason to presume the mayor and council will grant access to that circle?
To the access road, Ms. Wigginton?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I can't speak to what the borough council may or may not do, and I don't think this board would want to do that either. Right. But we do have alternatives should the borough council decide not to grant the access.
So if you're not granted the access, you have to come back to plan B? And does that mean you have to come before the board, or is it just an alternate plan?
I think it's a really insubstantial change to switch the access from the back to the easement that we're proposing between two properties.
To Mrs. Wigginton's point, with the access from the cul-de-sac, does that affect either of the two lots in reference to requiring any relief?
It does not.
And we have no, we don't understand or expect that we'll get access to that, from mayor and council right at this moment.
We typically wouldn't go to borough council without some sort of positive from this board.
But Mr. Kennedy, it's my understanding, because I want to clarify this, regardless of whether or not the borough council gives you access. The easements are going to go forward between those two lots you spoke of so that if the road gets flooded out or anything else, it's already there regardless of whether council gives you access, correct?
That's correct. We also have our sewer main going through that same easement, so providing an access above the sewer main is, just makes sense.
Mr. St. John, thank you for your clarification that Mr. Kennedy is the person testifying.
Understood, which is why I asked him to testify to answer your question in a clear manner.
I get it.
Question for the witnesses. Continued questions at this point? Mr. Childs.
Benson Childs, 59 Third Avenue, Atlantic Islands. A couple of quick questions. Mr. Kennedy, when you requested the waiver based on 150-84, can you clarify for the board and for the public how many houses are in the AE flood zone that would be affected by this?
Depending, and we testified to this as well, that we show a conceptual layout of homes, and there would be probably three homes that would be in the A zone if they're placed in accordance with our subdivision map.
Thank you. And how many lots would be in the flood zone?
The open space lot has V and A zone lots. 508, 507, 506, 505, so let's see. Six or seven would have somewhere on their lot an A zone, because remember, these lots do run down to the open space lot down the slope. So these lots would have an A or an A zone somewhere on the lot.
Thank you. And how is there any additional infrastructure that would be in the AE flood zone, such as the road?
No.
Road is not in the flood zone.
Correct.
Thank you. And in your reading of the ordinance, you testified that the reason that this ordinance does not apply, this 150-84, is due to the character of the flood zone, that it's not, you know, undisturbed open space, it's already developed. Is there a place that you can point to in the ordinance that clarifies that the intent of the ordinance is to preserve undisturbed open space?
All I can say is that it says exactly that. It says preserved as undeveloped open space. Those exact words are in 150-84A.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question for Mr. Romeyer. When you did your initial review letter, as you looked at it, which ordinance did you use? Which dated ordinance did you use when you considered this waiver?
Mr. Childs, we define which waiver you're speaking of.
I'm talking about 150-84.
I'm on my technical review number 4 due to the amount of changes. So are you asking the initial review, the current one?
The longer letter that you wrote, which I believe is the current one, I don't believe there's been another review letter since this particular design was proposed, 16 units and no public open space.
When my office prepares the report, they utilize the most recent versions available online.
So you were using the 2013 updated ordinance with regard to this waiver?
Correct. While my paper copy has both the 2013 and the prior version together, the reports are prepared based off the online version.
Thank you.
Further questions for this witness? Yes, sir. Bless you. Sir, please state your name and address.
Frank Annunziata, 124 Center Avenue.
Would you please spell that for the court reporter?
Sure. A-N-N-U-N-Z-I-A-T-A.
Thank you, sir.
Just my question is, I don't know if the changes were made with the pump station there. When I look at my back door, am I going to be looking at this pump station?
I'm going to let Mr. Kennedy answer that question just as a simple yes or no, although that was discussed in previous testimony. Not knowing
that.
Are you going to be looking at the pump station out your back?
Right, is that right behind my house?
Mr. Kennedy probably does not know where you live, so you might have to, you might have to point it out on the map, sir. Yes, please. Come on over, Mr. Annunziata, just so that he's identified it.
So, his home would be immediately behind the pump station, and that is why, one of the reasons, why we intend to screen the pump station, even though most of it's underground.
Okay.
There is a fence, the screening, perimeter landscaping, in order to minimize any view of the facility of the fence that's there.
Thank you for answering that question.
So, like, did you say most of the pump station?
I'm sorry, Mr. Annunziata, being that this was covered in previous testimony and where we are within the procedure, we allowed Mr. Kennedy to answer, but this was covered previously. It would just have to be on the changes made with the application.
That was barely?
Nope, that was all discussed previously, sir. I apologize on where we are in this hearing. The only questions that may be asked at this point are based on the changes.
That's it.
Any other questions for this witness? Public comment section, seeing that I see no further questions. Comments are limited to the changes made. Does anyone have comments?
Sir, please raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
And please state your name and address.
Robert O'Connor, 21 Granite Avenue, Atlantic Highlands.
My glasses. So neighbors for Waterfront Preservation and our counsel, Kevin Asadi, have been involved with these meetings and this application from the very beginning. Mr. Asadi was unable to attend tonight's meeting due to long-standing vacation plans. Mr. Asadi made a request by email on March 26th, and he spoke with Mr. Junko prior to the April 13th planning board meeting. Mr. Junko did not extend the professional courtesy of requesting a different date, which is standard practice among opposing professionals. Mr. Asadi sent a formal request on April 12th to reschedule, and our member David Schutzenhofer reiterated that request at the last planning board meeting. Mr. Stott sent a letter denying that request on April 15th. Mr. Asadi has been at all previous meetings that have included many changes and audibles. We understand the difficulty of working around everyone's schedules, but legal counsel is key to these proceedings, both for you, the applicant, and for the opposition. So we find your decision not to reschedule highly unfair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ricard. Just some clarification. Just some clarification at the meeting. Thank you very much. For the record, the meeting that Mr. O'Connor was referencing was the 11th, not the 13th. Being that Mr. O'Connor made that statement, this board allowed him to make this statement, and that will be it as far as statements in regards to that situation. All right, we did not stop him. He has the right to voice his opinion. It was covered in the opening statement. If anyone has further statements or comments they would like to make, based on the changes presented this evening, please raise your hand. Yes.
Sir, raise your right hand, please, and be sworn. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
And once again, your name and address.
Brent Sonnenschmelz, 51 Ocean Boulevard. In regards to my last questions that I just asked a few minutes ago, Mr. Rohmeier seemed to be uncertain about the reality of what is a undeveloped versus abandoned versus redevelopable space concerning this waiver. That waiver was passed, led by Councilman Flieger, to try to protect our town in the cases of large storms such as Sandy. We have a situation here where we have that opportunity to actually protect our town, protect the land, protect the people. We do not want to have a situation where new houses are built in place where a house had never ever before existed. This isn't a situation of rebuilding existing structures. It is a situation of building homes on a land that has never before been used for residential use. We do not want to put homes in a situation where they are at risk in a storm surge situation like Sandy. Not just for the residents that are there, but also for our first responders when people don't evacuate when they're required to. Those are situations where our fire, our police, can be put in a situation that is potentially life-threatening. Those are the kind of situations that we want to avoid. Why we want to have this waiver be as strongly considered as possible by this board, not simply dismissed, because there has been prior use of this land for a marina for boats, that now we have an abandoned structure along the waterfront. We also have a situation here where it is reasonable to not grant this waiver. As commented by the applicant's engineer, Mr. Kennedy, this is a place where, no, of course, we want to let people rebuild the homes that they have. But that's not the case here. This is maybe zoned residential, but it's been commercial for, what was it, 1923, that Exxon used this land as a commercial entity? It's not residential land. There's no reason why we have to have it be residential land. I ask the board to consider there's sufficient reason here to deny this application. It is, you are not required, nor is it necessary that you grant this application as put forth. This is your opportunity to stand up for this town, for what we want as a community, and allow us to preserve this land as potential open space, not add these homes, which put too many people, both residents and first responders, at risk in the case of storm. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schottsville. I will say once again, we wanted to let that comment come out. That was also voiced previously at the previous meeting. Once again, comments based on the changes and testimony given this evening, please. Does anyone have comments? Mr. Childs.
Well, I think this is appropriate given the testimony that was given about why, you know.
Denson, were you previously sworn in connection with this matter?
I believe I was, but I'm happy to swear
again. Sure. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth?
I do. With regard to this application and this particular waiver 150-84. It was the applicant's testimony in the beginning that there would be no variances or waivers required as part of this application. And the letter from the town's engineer verified that finding. After we gave testimony regarding the flood zone area, Mr. Rohmeyer came up to Mr. Asadi and myself, and I believe there was another person there, and asked where we got that waiver from. And our planner, who was in that discussion also, pulled that ordinance out from 2013 that was updated when after Sandy to account for the flood concerns. And Mr. Rohmeyer seemed surprised, and that was the end of the conversation. But it seemed pretty clear to me from that conversation that he had not looked at that particular portion of the ordinance, and I want to put that on the record because I was surprised by the testimony that he offered tonight. In my reading of the ordinance and the resolution passed by the town council, the purpose of the ordinance was not to protect undisturbed or undeveloped open space. It was to protect people from the flood zones. And it's pretty clear when you look at the resolution that the council passed in 2013 that that was the case. Now we're talking about putting new residential structures in the flood zone. This ordinance in particular does not deal with individual homeowners who are trying to rebuild after a flood event, okay? This ordinance deals with subdivision plans, new development on property in the flood zone. And I think that's an important distinction that hasn't been made yet tonight. So thank you for your time, I appreciate it.
I ask a question, Mr. Rohmeyer. 150-848, section 3. Is that deal necessarily, is that an open space ordinance, meaning that in historic structures? Is it open space and historic structures? Is that the ordinance, or is that?
The ordinance is general site design standards. Yeah. Section A deals with open space and historic structures.
Okay. That's the one. Thank you. Comments? Mr. Junko, summation.
Mr. Chairman, our client presented a plan to the board that he thought would be a suitable redevelopment of this property. There's no evidence or comment whatsoever of this property being occupied by tenancies today. Some by Mr. McConnell, some by the borough, through the Catalina Club. What this application ended up doing is removing no variances. We also specifically lined up our proposed street with, I believe it's Bayside Terrace, so that that design standard would also be met.
For the record, Drive.
Drive.
Just for the ride.
Bayside Drive. Yep. Further, our clients relocated the pumping station from the original location.
I'm sorry. Bay Avenue. Sorry, Bayside Drive is another street. Bay Avenue. Pardon me.
No, it's Harborview.
Harborview.
The first street.
Harborview Drive.
In any event, we lined up with that, so there would be no question about that issue, even though there's very little traffic coming from the north, which is, of course, the bay. Second, during the development of the site, we learned that the original location of our pumping station was inconvenient to a resident and relocated so it would be equal distance from all. We tried to separate that and create an environment where there would be no issues. The basis of the original application sought the open space to be dedicated. There was considerable debate at the first meeting, discussion and comment that talked about the fact that that would be burdening the borough and the taxpayers. And as a result of that, our client directed that we find a way to relieve the borough of that issue, and we did that by creating the common open space issue where the residents would bear the maintenance obligations. We further eliminated the variances, continued with safety, and addressed the minor issues that were in the design of the site. In fact, this application has no basis that I can see for any reasonable person to issue denial. In fact, this is an application that meets the standards of the ordinance in every aspect. And in meeting the ordinance, it requires that a board consider that if the application meets the standards of the ordinance, it's entitled to an approval. There could be an issue of health and safety that could deter that. However, in our case, we're well aware of all the issues. The design has been designed in accordance with all applicable standards. We just went through some of those that apply to the A and the B zone. It's also necessary for us to finally obtain an approval from the NJDEP, the Department of Environmental Protection, under the CAFA division for this site, which will be done as a normal condition of this approval. The plan provides and addresses almost every issue that's been raised by either the ordinance, your consultant, or even this board's discussion. We've tried to incorporate every single one of those ideas into this plan, and it's a very good plan. It will provide for 16 new residences in Atlantic Highlands, and it will provide that they're safe and that they hopefully are able to continue the redevelopment of the city, or the township, the borough rather, as it's going. This site had an industrial use. There's no one denying that. The industrial use went through proper procedures for termination of its use, for renewal and environmental compliance of all at the private expense of the property owner. The application is being proposed is what's permitted under your ordinance. You're not looking for anything that any other property owner or any property owner in Atlantic Highlands is not entitled to. And my client has proposed a design that will hopefully set a nice standard for this area of the borough and permit this development to be successful and for the borough to continue to operate effectively. We've taken into account all of the municipal standards that need to be applied, the streets, the orientation of the structures, their location, setbacks. All standards have been complied with. I'm going to suggest that this is a good application for Borough of Atlantic Highlands, and that my client, throughout this time, has listened to everyone's comments and tried to address them. Some comments were just not necessarily compatible with any development, and that is not something that we would be able to comply with and still need to be affirmative. We're here because we're proposing a development that will meet the standards, present a new development, a new neighborhood, if you will, in Atlantic Highlands that will carry on the standards that have been established in this basic neighborhood along the bayfront and permit more families to join the borough. I see only positives for this from my client's perspective, of course, but also having done this for many years, this is one of the few applications that has had as many interested persons speaking to it that had no variances that I've ever been associated with. In any event, I'm going to ask the board to consider that when we started, there were certain issues about the design that were raised, comments that were given, our client responded to them. We have been approached and spoken with the objective groups, and there's now three of them that are each have individual and independent issues. We tried to address all of them in one way or another, and we will continue to do that. I ask the board to grant this approval. It is a worthy project, and it will be a benefit to the borough and my client in this case, as he has in every other application I've represented him with.
has considered not only his own interests, but the interests of the borough, the representatives of the borough, and even all of the persons who came here to oppose him. I'm going to ask the board to grant that approval. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. To clarify, are you still requesting waivers that might not exist before we talk about whether those waivers are necessary?
The reason that we asked that in rebuttal, Mr. Chairman, is that those issues were raised in the context of the professional planning testimony. The issues were addressed in direct testimony. They were determined and ruled on, I shouldn't say ruled on, but recommended to the board by your consultant. We found nothing at fault with that consultant. I can recall that while we were discussing the issue of the pumping station, there was a vigorous debate, and it was kind of interesting from my perspective, because not only did you hear from our consultant and my client's engineer and his sewer engineer about how these things, how this system would operate, where it would operate, and its function and structure. But it was then brought to the attention of the board engineer. It was reviewed vis-a-vis the ordinance, and it was determined by, again, vigorous debate amongst the board members that it was not a structure. It's an underground pumping station that is available and accessible for maintenance and repair. When we heard the issue of square footage and the potential for this issue, in rebuttal, and perhaps an abundance of caution, in an attempt to avoid a litigation, we wanted to bring before the board all the aspects of that issue that may have, in my opinion, could have been further explained. We did that tonight, and we particularly took advantage of that opportunity to add 1,088 square feet so that the calculation of the 30% of the total lot for open space remains uncontested. So even if there was an issue about whether or not that was a structure that went to another tribunal or to a court in an appeal, we think we've addressed it thoroughly, and we've asked the board to take the step of considering, would you be able or willing to grant that waiver in the alternative? And by in the alternative, I mean that in the event it became a court's opinion that it was a structure, even though it doesn't meet your ordinance definition. Perhaps I was doing everything I can on behalf of my client to try to avoid litigation.
I am somewhat uncomfortable with having this board grant waivers to prevent other people's litigation. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I fully understand that. I respect and thank you for the opportunity to present it. I'd ask you to consider it favorably. However, the board has all the facts and evidence in front of it, and I am quite satisfied that a determination that the waiver is not required is correct. But having been in front of judges and courts in the past,
that
I can't
not
do enough to help my client.
I do understand that, but that is not the board's duty to protect
either
side in reference to that.
I do understand that. But you gave us an opportunity to present it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the point of board discussion over this matter. At this point in time, the public is here as to listen, view, watch. There will be no banter back and forth between the public. There will be no banter from the board to the public either. We are at a point now where the board, after listening to, at this point, 27 hours of testimony, comments, and questions, now gets to talk about and decide. Mr. Stott, did I miss anything?
Not.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, would anyone like to start?
Well, I'll start just with the two simple ones, whether or not we need the two waivers. Usually I talk too loud and people tell me to be quiet, so okay. I'll bring the microphone over. I think the first question to address is whether or not any waivers are required. I have read 15084 numerous times. I was on the board for many years, and regardless of the intent, We're legally bound by the wordage, and I think it's absolutely clear that it only applies to undeveloped open space by the way the ordinance was written. And given that this is clearly developed space, I don't believe there's any waiver required there as far as that's concerned. I think the other potential waiver was on the amount of open space, the 30%. And regardless of whether it's a structure or not, regardless of whether it's included or not, they still meet the 30% by a lot line adjustment. So just on those two points, I do not believe that any waivers are required for those two issues. Because I just want to try, in my opinion, to put that issue to bed before we then address it as a whole.
Correct. This is basically an operating commercial lot as we speak. There's commercial businesses on this lot. This is not an undeveloped lot. I mean, this lot's been here well before I was born, and it was used as an oil field, oil tank storage facility. So it's not undeveloped open space, and it's currently not undeveloped open space. It's being used. So I have to agree with the borough engineer that this is a developed piece of property and that it does not need a waiver.
Any other board members would like to comment on that portion?
You can't restrict us to that portion.
Just right now, whatever you want. Just stay on point.
My question is, if this is going to be an association, what requires them to keep that open space? Are they required to keep it open space?
It'll be in the deed.
Exactly. It'll
be restricted.
Yeah. If we approve, the deeds will make that very clear.
Yeah. And right now, we're looking at a subdivision. That's what this board's looking at this period of time. Mm-hmm.
And I believe we were provided, Ms. Murray, with the proposed HOA agreements, which also made it clear that it was open space in perpetuity, supported at this time by the homeowners and the property owners.
They have to maintain it, they have to upkeep it.
I believe those documents are a matter of record, too, for the board that we were handed the Homeowners Association bylaws.
I think they gave you an example of it, but I don't know if it was ever...
I would agree with that.
But the intent, my point, though, is the intent is there, and that can be codified in our resolution, the intent. You're right, the wording can change a little bit, but the intent to keep that open space, period, can be easily put in to our resolution.
Mr. Asadi, your client wouldn't be against that, correct?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Mr. Junko.
I'm sorry. Your client, Mr. Junko, I'm sorry. Your client, would he be okay with that, writing in the open space?
It is part of our application. Okay. We fully intend that the open space that's to be dedicated as the ordinance requires will be dedicated in perpetuity through the Homeowners Association with a recorded deed, which after we, it's typical and I'm expecting your procedures will be the same. We would prepare those documents and submit them for the review and approval of the designated attorney for the board or the township as the ordinance or the attorneys may be signed.
And I apologize, Mr. Junko.
Anybody else have any comments right now?
I've sat through, this is my second time with this property. I remember the first time. I'm not sure how many other people remember the first time. Thank God we don't have that one before us anymore, because that was a disaster. And this one is obviously, in retrospect, much better than that one.
I think as far as use of the land, it's not nearly as dense as that last one. 16 homes is, you know, probably the least you can get away with on something like this, this piece of property. And could have been a lot more. And I think it's, yeah. At first, I was surprised that it took as much of property away from the Caravan Club as it did when I first saw it. So I went down to the Cat Club and was looking around some more. And I'm sure they could have done something to give more land to the Cat Club so they could, you know, keep some of that property there. That's,
well, I'm hoping the Homeowners Association talks to the Catamaran Club and works something out.
But to be clear, if this is open space, they can't store anything on here.
I didn't say that.
No, but I mean, you understand what I'm saying? As far as if this is open space, there cannot be any storage on there by the rules of open space. Just to be clear.
And I will say one other thing, because I want to address it. Marty, you can jump in on this. As a first responder, one who lived through Sandy and did a lot of work during Sandy, I know what the building standards are now. I've seen them. I've seen what the building codes are. And I have no intention of risking my life ever. However, I do not see any opportunity here where I would be at risk of doing that. If these houses are built to standards, and I know they will be, there will be no problem. It's a whole lot more risky taking care of houses that are built on ocean and the steep slopes than down here. This is nice flat land, and even with the water, it's not nearly as dangerous as our houses falling off the hill, which have happened a number of times. So I just want to answer that as a first responder who would have to go out should we have another Sandy.
Yeah, I'm a proponent for open space. I'd love to have this as open space and a lot more land in town also. But I haven't seen anything about the town or the county being the least bit interested in purchasing this land.
Unfortunately, and obviously, but this is what we got. Is what we got.
And I think this, you know, is much better than what's there now.
Which is a boatyard. And I didn't mean to snicker when Mr. Sonic Small was talking about Exxon, but the only reason I snickered is because that goes back all the way to Standard Oil. That's been a Rockefeller, and it's. Not exactly a nice piece of property right now.
And I think you'll find that the state, in its land use perspective, as well as the master plan, has always talked about taking industrial properties, especially ones that are almost brownfield, and redeveloping them into productive
Fitting
the zones and the ordinances and so on. This has been an eyesore, to be perfectly honest, since well before I moved into town. And I think this is better than the eyesore we have now. So.
If there is no further, is there any further board discussion? If there is not, would anyone like to propose a motion?
I'd offer a motion to approve the subdivision.
Do I have a second?
I will second it.
Ms. Uriarte.
Mr. Flager?
Yes.
Mr. Pauley?
Yes.
Mr. Cacamo?
Yes.
Dr. Cetron?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mrs. Murray?
No.
Yes. Mr. Colangelo?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
No. Abstain.
I didn't hear your answer.
Abstain.
Thank you.
We need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.